Hey guys, don't forget, check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com and
on Facebook.
There you go. Lots of cool stuff coming up. And if you have anything that you're wanting, check us, send us some questions or whatever at info. Isn't it info?
It's info at thevalleyoutdoors.com.
I thought so. I'm like, Don's trying to play
trick
tricks on me. Yeah. I trick questioned myself onto that one.
Actually, you just go to our website.
Exactly. You can log on there.
Yeah.
Check out all the cool websites, links, and other pieces of information. So we're going to get to the Mille Lacs story in a second. That's called a tease. We'll be talking about that momentarily. More importantly, the DNR is reminding people the upcoming ICE deadline to remove shelters from...
What state?
I said Minnesota DNR.
Okay.
Yep, Minnesota DNR. I don't know, and I'm trying to pull what the deadlines are for the other states. I don't have that, but I'll have that for next week.
I think they're fairly similar.
They should be very close. It's coming up in March, this March. Obviously, we're in March. All litter also must be removed from the ice. So if you've had anything that's frozen, get out the chisel and chisel the junk out of the ice. And hopefully it won't be an issue from before, but if you have a chance and it's warm, time to prop up that box, ice house, whatever you want to call it, ice shack, shanty, multiple names for it, but they have to be removed by Monday, March 6th, in the northern one-third of the state, north and east-west line formed by U.S. Highway 10, east along Highway 34 to Minnesota Highway 200, and east along Highway 200 to U.S. Highway 2, yada, yada, yada. The deadline is 11:59 on March 20th for those east along Highway 2 to the Wisconsin border. The conservation officers have been out recently checking shelters and documenting potential problems for people who probably have their ice that's is stuck.
Back in the day when I used to put one out, I never used the dates. I used the temperature outside.
Time to go.
And when it's time, get it off. If you have a warm day and she gets slushy, if you don't get it off, you know you've got a lot of work ahead of you. Because if she freezes again...
you're in trouble.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, make sure you're off by the date, of course, but I always got them off early.
Yeah, and again, you don't have to, it doesn't mean you permanently can't ice fish anymore. Once the deadlines are in place, you can be on the ice with an ice house, but it has to be occupied if they're out between midnight and 1 hour before sunrise. They cannot be left or stored at public accesses, and if they're not removed by the deadline, they might be confiscated and removed. Any owners receive citations, of course, so that's always a bummer part. I think that the other important part from my aspect is take the junk, take whatever you've had next to your shed. If it's not even yours,
yeah, you should be as clean as the day you pulled it out there.
You know, the whole thing is you wouldn't throw that in the water, and it's not, it's going to be water soon, so it'll be part of the environment when you're dealing with fishing in the summer. So they said commonly left items include sewage, bait, bottles, cans, and cigarette butts are commonality. And one of the things to keep in mind as well, this year, the ice has been marginal at best. It has not been good because of the snow, various other things, unless you're on a plowed road.
And so, the fluctuations of temperatures. And,
exactly. Yep. So just be aware of that. If you think you're going to go drive out and grab your whatever that you had, ice has not been a friend
of
the fishermen at all by any means. So hang tight on that. So let's jump into it, Don.
Yep.
Big news. There will not be a walleye closure for this summer on Mille Lacs
in
2023 on Lake Mille Lacs.
Yep.
No closure. And that's been closures for the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, it hasn't been closed. It's just the limit has... Your fishing limit. You could still put a boat in the water and go out and fish.
Right, but you can't, no walleye closure. It was walleye, right. Were completely off limits, couldn't do anything. So the total safe harvest quota on Mille Lacs for 2023 is 175,000 pounds, 100,000 pounds being state licensed anglers. Tribal harvest, which usually takes place first by a gill netting, is 74,000 this year. And the DNR announced the state licensed anglers will have the opportunity to harvest walleye between 21 and 23 inches in length, or greater than 28 inches through the season, open water season of Mille Lac. They said the lower harvest this winter and improving walleye population are allowing this to be implemented.
So for the most part, nothing under 21.
Nothing under 21.
So it's got to be a pretty healthy fishery again.
Oh, well, again, the weird part is that there's so many of those mid to larger sized fish in the fishery, because when they put the slots on before,
right,
it was 15 to 17 inches. You're not going to have a fish in that area that makes it through a gauntlet. If somebody catches one of those, it's in the boat and it's going home.
A 15 to 17?
When it was a slot of 15 to 17.
Right.
You know, whatever they moved that slot to in that area.
Yeah.
It devastated that area.
Yep,
unfortunate. So the regulations will apply from the opener, Saturday, May 13th, until the end of the open water season, Thursday, November 30th. Unlike recent years, there's no planned closure or ban on using live bait during the first 2 weeks in July. And that was a big conversation we had before. On opening weekend, fishing will be allowed 24 hours a day. Beginning Monday, May 15th, the night fishing closure takes effect, and fishing hours in Mille Lac will be 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for all species from Saturday, June 3rd through Thursday, the 30th, November 30th, muskie and northern pike anglers using artificial lures or sucker minnows longer than 8 are exempt from the night fishing closure. Starting Friday, September 1st, night fishing closures are relaxed with angling hours 6 a.m. to midnight. That's awesome. And they're always going to be monitoring what's going on. And they now have, because of the way that they can alert people, they have the ability to change the seasons more quickly. They had talked about that with the advisory council, which was great. And it's allowing the resorts to have more business, which I think is going to be a big thing.
So how do they know how many pounds are coming off the lake? 100,000 pounds isn't going to take long.
No,
not
well,
if they're 21 to 23. They're
one apiece, one per person. So
that's what the limit is?
Yeah.
One per person.
Yep.
Okay.
And they do it through Creel Census and as an estimate. And so
you'd be kind of a loser if you didn't take one off the lake, wouldn't you? If you can't catch one.
So kind of a cool deal. I'm excited about that. I think the resorts up there are as well, after many years of not being able to
fish for walleye,
to make it happen. So, yeah. Tell you what, hang tight. We're going to talk a little bit about a well-known bass angler. He is going to hang it up after the 23 season. This is big news as well. See you soon.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, Don, I think we've all watched some bass fishing at from time to time, right?
Of course.
TV stuff.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the BASS or the FLW or the MLF, Major League Fishing, different ways of having different bass fishing competitions televised. And one of the guys that's been day in, day out, if you ask somebody who is the best angler, it could be Denny. It could be Davey Height. It could be Denny Brower.
You're talking Height. In the bass world.
In the bass world. It could be, there's a number of guys out there, but one guy that always comes up, whether it's on tackle, you see his name, you see it any.
You never see his name. You see KVD.
KVD, yeah. Exactly. Kevin Van Dam. And he has just announced that he is going to retire following the 23 season. His success in the professional bass fishing circuits unparalleled, including 4 Bassmasters Classic titles, 7 Angler of the Year crowns, $7 million in earnings, and the countdown has begun in his retirement. So he's a Michigan native. He actually has a brother that owns a dealership, a boat dealership in Michigan, and they call it an end of an era. It may be overused. However, it's like Tom Brady.
Right.
This is literally the same kind of thing.
Not quite, but.
Well, it's close.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's the GOAT, really.
Mm-hmm. How long has he been fishing? Do you know?
33 years.
I was going to say, I interviewed him once.
Did you?
Yep. Probably 25 years ago.
Well, I think we need to get him on again.
Yeah.
We can do that. Everyone seems to have his name imprinted in with the DNA of bass fishing. And, of course, he himself was part of that. And by the time he was 14 years old, he already fished his first bass tournament. By 16, he joined his first bass fishing club. And, of course, by then it was clear at that point that he wasn't a normal bass fisherman. He was something special and had significant talent. Confidence mixed with a bit of cockiness and the I know I can do this mindset, says Mark Zona from ESPN. If you're familiar with Mark Zona, he's one of the guys that's done many of the broadcasts with him. And, he's going to call it quits. It's kind of funny. The age of 23 in 1990, he started into the full-time bass fishing, and he joined the BASS. 2 years later, he won his first Toyota Tundra Angler of the Year title, the youngest to ever accomplish that feat. He'd go on to win that title six more times among four Bassmaster Classic titles, Angler of the Year for the FLW, 25 total BASS tournaments. He's won and four Major League Fishing Cups and earning more than $7 million along the way.
He's had a fairly successful career.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's big on the crankbaits. Another statement from Zona says, if he was in the top 10 going into tournament last day or within reach of the title, he was going to beat you. I mean, he just had that methodology. You know, Chris Gilman, friend of the show, Walleye Tour, had fished with him before I went pro. And I'll never forget Saginaw Bay. This is a kind of a cool story. Saginaw Bay, we had gone out and we had found some decent fish. I caught one of my biggest fish ever, 13.4, I think it was.
Wow.
And we were catching them on a crankbait. So, it was coming into the third day of the PWT, the last day. And so, there was three of us in a hotel room, and Chris was sleeping on the floor that night. I don't know why he slept on the floor. He's like, no, I got it. Well, he goes to sleep that night with the leaderboard in his hand. I'll never forget. I wake up in the morning, and he still has the leaderboard in his hand. And I said, so apparently you're looking at that pretty intently. And he's like, you know, Ole, I think I can do this. I think I can win this thing. And I'm like, okay. He goes, no. I calculated it. I think I can do this. I'm going to win this thing. Okay. Sure enough. Next day, that morning, goes out, gets on a pot of fish that we had found, lit him up, came back, and dominated by him like 3-4 pounds, which is a lot.
Right.
And that mindset, when you're talking about winning, and you have somebody that's in the top 5 or top 10, and you know they're in the top 10 and you're leading, I would not want to be that guy in first place or second place or third place knowing KBD is there, because by that time, he generally will have figured something else out. He's sitting in his back pocket. And now he's going to pull all the stops out and make it happen.
Yeah, it's like being in the top 3 with Tiger Woods.
I would say it would be exactly the same thing. So just an outstanding individual and really amazing in what he was able to do. And kudos to him for all the years that he's put into that sport and what he's done for the sport. A lot of tackle developments come up, so... story coming out of Iowa, Don. Iowa CWD, chronic wasting disease.
Yeah.
57% up. Not good.
No.
The figures posted by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources said there were 82 positive tests last year. That's a 57% increase over 2021. And the chronic wasting disease infected deer was more than any previous year. And they're scared that it's going to be exponential. According to figures posted, 52 cases last year were found, as opposed to 82 this year. It also represents total number of confirmed cases since 2013 to 246. It is apparent, according to the DNR deer biologist, that the disease is growing and also in geographic range. So they're very concerned about that because it's in Wisconsin, it's Minnesota, Illinois, and Missouri, where some of their biggest bucks, as you know, are a lot of big deer in the area. And I think the biggest issue here is isolated cases. There are likely to be two reasons: deer mobility and transport of carcasses from concentrated locations farther away from a disposal site. In the deer mobility, there's nothing you can do. Deer are going to wander, right? The study found that juvenile animals traveled 75 miles from their birthplace in search of new surroundings.
Wow, really?
Yeah. But what we can do is we can restrain how you dispose of those deer that are infected. And proper carcass disposal is a big thing. They're really going to focus on trying to drop that. They also want to increase sampling. They're going to eliminate supplemental feeding. They want to report, make sure you report a sick deer. I don't know if people know what a sick deer looks like that has CWD, but it kind of just, it'll stand and like spin in circles, kind of wander around, stagger. Report it. Immediately just call it in. It could save a significant number of deer if we can get that deer out of the herd. And that's a huge part of it. And they're estimating soon that 15 to 20% of the zone is affected by CWD. And by comparison, it's 1.5 more every year. And in this particular case, they expect the number to increase between 5 to 7,000 positive tests. So not a good thing.
Well, you know, hopefully eventually they can figure out a way to get this under control. I mean, it's all the states, not just, the whole Midwest, because it's
seems to be
spreading.
Yep, got to get them tested, and that's the key thing. And speaking of key things, we're a wrap, Don. We're at the end of the rope, as they say. Thank you for joining us, Don, Ava, and you guys at home. We are the Valley Outdoors, and join us next week. We'll have some awesome stories again. Have a great day and whatever time you're going to spend in the outdoors.